Who controls nature? So we're starting paragraph 68 in the bottom of the page on the right side. Amar HaKuzari, the Kuzari, after our discussion last week of the age of the universe, he likes the approach of the Chaver. He likes how he explained to him his view on creation. And he says the following. He says that he's still bothered by a certain basic question. And his basic question is, how is it that God is involved in our lives, in the lives of people? He communicates with humans. And then specifically, here in paragraph 68, he says, even such insignificant parts of creation like little bugs. Another way to put it would be, it's unfathomable, says the Kuzari, that God, it's unfathomable that God would care to make sure that even the smallest part of creation has every detail worked out, has every detail planned out and organized. And he says it here in the end of paragraph 68. He says, "V'imhi nifla b'tzurataki bakaton shebirimasim." Even the smallest of the bugs, the smallest of the insects, it's unfathomable that God, such a high being, such a beyond our world idea, would care, would be connected to. So he says, how is it? This is really the question that the Kuzari has had all along. How is it that God communicates with people? How is it that God interacts with the world? A God who's beyond time, who's beyond the physical world, why should there be such a thing as a connection between that God and this world? So the Chaver answers, paragraph 69. Amar Chaver, Bidvarcha zeh lo hutzrachti bidvarim rabim lashivcha. This doesn't require a lengthy answer. You know why? Because in your question, Mr. Kuzari, is the answer itself. He says, if you look at an ant, if you look at every small little piece of creation, you will see beauty. You will see wisdom. You'll see the incredible fingerprint of God. Listen how he says it here, paragraph 69. He says, "Hata miyachei zorach chokhma nimtzei bivriyat nimala derech mashal gilgal kochav uzulato." You're going to tell me that this little ant, this incredible, beautiful creation, could have been created by the sun, the moon, a different body of power in the universe other than God? It's impossible. It can only be that such an intricate, detailed, beautiful creation could come from God. That's what he says here at the end. He says that mibilti habore hayachol mishe'er shenatan l'chol davar chuko mein tosef v'chazor. It can't be that even the most insignificant, smallest creature was created by anybody other than God. So the Kuzari says back, paragraph 70, v'zehu amiyuchas l'po'otav. He says, this is called nature. He says that's nature, that there's creations, that there's insects, that there's animals. That's all part of nature. So the Chaver says back something very interesting. He says, "Umahu hateva." He says, but what is nature? Who controls nature? What is the force behind nature? That's what the rabbi says to the Kuzari. So the Kuzari responds, paragraph 72. He says, you know what nature is? He says, it's koach mehakochot. Amash shamanu. He says it's a certain force within the universe. I don't really understand it. I don't really understand nature, but I know that there's a force that makes things go, that makes things run. And you know who knows more about this thing called nature? He says the scientists. That's what he says here in paragraph 72. So the Chaver says back, he says, you know that the scientists and us were really in the same boat. He says, Yediatam bok, Yediatan. He says, what they know is what we know. Paragraph 73, bottom of the page. Kaderato Philosophov, he here quotes Aristotle, which he likes to quote a lot. And he says, the only thing that science is able to tell us about nature is why. Why things happen. When I was a little kid, I used to read this book called Why Things Work, or How Things Work. And it was a whole book about different kinds of inventions that have come out over time. different things that have come over time and how they work. But it doesn't explain, okay, why they do that, why they're able to do that. You can tell me, you know, how a tree grows and the process of photosynthesis, and you can tell me how thunder works, and you can tell me how it works that the sun comes up in the morning and the sun sets at night. But you can't tell me why it does that. You can't tell me what's behind it. What's the force behind it? So the Chaver is saying to the Kuzari, science can explain the how, but it cannot explain the why. Okay? So what do they answer? They say, it's nature. You know what the why is? It's nature. Look in paragraph 74. The Kuzari response is ki ilu hu omer ki adavar she yanu me'atzmo yanuch me'atzmo yesh lo siba ma, which means it seems that what the philosophers are saying is that when an object changes intrinsically, in other words, it displays motion, something's moving, something's happening, different than it was before, right? He says that's what we call nature. Vasiba hi ateva, paragraph 75. So the Chaver responds and he says, okay, you haven't answered the question. You've just called it nature again. You haven't responded to tell me why it does that. All you've told me is how things work, but not why, what's behind nature. You've told me what happens in nature, but not what gives nature its ability to function. So, you know, sometimes we'll sit in a lecture. It's just an example. Anybody here ever gone to a science lecture other than school? And felt like, what is that person talking about? They're using all sorts of fancy language. They're putting up on the board like 25-letter words that are supposed to explain some kind of phenomenon. And you're like, what does it mean? Sounds really smart. The person sounds really smart, but I don't get a word what they're saying. So the scientists get up and they give a lot of fancy language and they speak all these very intricate details. But at the end of the day, they haven't really said that much. Because they haven't told you what the root of the nature is. They haven't told you why it's happening. That's what the Kuzari. So the Kuzari says here in paragraph 76. Im ken ani ro'eh she'itunu b'shemot ha'elu. So he says, I see the scientists have fooled everybody into thinking that this is what nature is. By using long words, by using fancy mathematical equations and things like that. They've made everybody think that this is what nature is. That's not what nature is. That's how nature works. But that's not what nature is. It doesn't explain what's behind it. So the last thing we're going to do, paragraph 77 on the left side, we're not going to read the whole piece. But the Chaver responds, Chaver responds, paragraph 77. And he says, you can call it nature. If that's how you want to understand it. But you can't say that it has its own wisdom. You can't say that it functions on its own. You can't say that it doesn't have a power that is driving it from behind the scenes. So know, says the Chaver, that all of life comes from God. You want to call it nature? It's just another way of saying God. I don't know if anybody's ever heard this, but the numerical value of the word nature in Hebrew, ha-teva, is the same numerical value as the Hebrew word Elohim, God. Okay? It's cute, but it's not a coincidence, and I think it tells us a lot about what nature really is. And sometimes everything runs so smoothly in the world that we forget to realize that God is behind the whole thing. And that's what the Chaver is saying to the Kuzari. Mr. Kuzari, you think that this is all just happens because it works, it just happens, it just goes. There's got to be something deeper here that explains all of this. That's called God. So that's what the Chaver here is trying to share with the Kuzari, that what drives nature is God. And this is another episode in our conversation about the fusion, the interface between science and religion. So next week's question is going to relate to what religion can teach science and what science can teach religion. To be continued, not next week, but in 2 weeks. Everybody have a wonderful day.